Here by myself. So, this morning we got a message that I just feel like the Lord led me to do today. It's one I done a couple of years ago, but it's speaking today more clearly than ever before. So take your Bibles, if you would, turn with me over to the book of 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. It's where we'll be. I didn't tell Kaylee what to sing, but that song goes perfectly with what the intent of the message is. Because we live in a time when people are not sold out, not dedicated. What happened to the Hudson Taylors, Billy Sundays, Mordecai Hams? What happened to those folks? Where are they today? Who can we depend on to follow? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, sometimes I think it's sort of hard to really get a focus on that because it's hard to tell who's who. It's hard to tell the church from the world. And there has to be a clear distinction, I believe. I'm old-fashioned, but I believe there has to be a clear distinction between darkness and light. So this morning I want to speak to you out of Thessalonians, also out of Romans chapter 1. We'll be there for just some reading real quickly after what goes along with what I'm going to read anyway. So turn your put your fingers on Romans chapter 1, and then we're going to read about four verses here in 2 Thessalonians. All right? Everybody ready? Oh, my gracious, that was sad. That was sad. Let me go sit down and try this again. Everybody ready?
Ready.
Let's stand to our feet and worship the Lord. Honor him by standing as we read his precious holy word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that we be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple, showing himself that he is God." Romans chapter 1, verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto a corruptible man, and the birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Lord, we've been challenged just reading your word that, Lord, our lives need to be focused on you. I know this world has a lot to offer us, a lot of enticements, a lot of things that can draw us away. But, Lord, we need to focus on you. And that comes from a heart surrendered unto you. So I pray today, Lord, as we bring this message, may you anoint it. May you bless it. I believe this is what you have given me today for this day, for us to be challenged by as a body of believers. Lord, we pray your will to be done through the message. We pray if there's one here lost and undone, that today that decision would be made to follow you by faith. For those at home that are listening, Lord, by the internet, I pray that you'd bless them. May the word of God be real and alive and working in them as well. So, Lord, today as I bring this message, I pray for an anointing from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I pray every word I say would be a spirit-led and spirit-fed. I pray I'd say nothing that should not be done. But, Lord, I pray that you would give me the Holy Ghost boldness, Lord, to be the man of God as I stand here right now, so that I would not vary to the world, but I would lean on Jesus Christ, and that everything I say, Lord, would be pleasing unto you. So guard my lips as I bring this message. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. There's a whole lot going on in the day we live. I mean, I am so disturbed most of the time. It's almost, it's irritating even to sit down and look at the news and to hear things that are going on around us, both in the political world and in the spiritual world. I believe this morning, as we gather here, I believe this morning that there is a force that is trying their best to eliminate anything that we can receive from God. I believe we're in a spiritual battle this morning. I pray God will put the angels around this place so that as we bring the message today, that will be anointed and it can fall on the ears that will be receptive to what I've got to say. Our world is in trouble. Everywhere you look, our world is in trouble. And the only thing I can think of possibly that could cause this in such a mass volume of things that are happening is the evil work of darkness is happening, otherwise called Satan. I believe he's working today on every heart of God's people, because I believe that we've got to the place where we are not being faithful to the Word of God. Not faithful to the Word of God in this sense. If the Word of God says something that I don't agree with, then I'm just going to do what I agree with. Or if the Word of God says something that I'm enjoying is wrong, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. We live in a sin-soaked, sin-sick society. And I'm telling you, it has crept into the church so strong that most places around that I know are failing in the area of preaching the Word of God without fear and without hesitation about the truth of the Word of God. We want to so lightly walk that we don't offend anybody. You know, we don't want to offend anybody because of what we say, what we do, or how we look. And so we just sort of lower the standards down to where the standards might lay, and anybody can step over it and call themselves a child of God. But listen to me. The Bible's very clear on this. Everybody in this world is not a child of God. They are a creation of God, but unless they've been born by the Spirit of God, they are not the children of God. They have to have that new birth experience. In other words, they have to believe in their heart that Christ paid the ultimate price and have confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. And when they do that and begin to follow after Him, then something begins to transpire in their life. There's a change in the person's life. And the only thing that I know that brings change that is permanent is the Word of God. Now, you know, we don't have to like the Word of God, but we have to believe the Word of God and we have to do what the Word of God says. So this morning I want to just talk about some things. Paul said that before Christ comes, there's going to be something that happens. And it says here there's going to be a great falling away. That's the words Paul used. And that word that is used is the word that we say apostasy. So Paul was saying here that before Christ comes, there will be a great apostasy that falls across the world. And in the church, because he's writing this letter at the church of Thessalonica, who has been invaded by false teaching, and Paul is saying, hey, well, hold it just a minute. Let me tell you what's going to happen before Christ comes. Don't get upset. Just listen to what I've got to say. So he wants us to understand there is a time when Christ is coming, but I hear revival, 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 a great revival. Well, let me tell you what. I can't find that in the scriptures, only in the great revival that happens during the time of the tribulation when those 144,000 Jews are preaching the word of God, and a great revival will break out during that time. But now the Bible says that man's hearts will get worse and worse and worse and worse. Oh, I hope there's a great revival. That's what we need. We need a heaven-sent, Holy Ghost-filled, life-changing, heart-wrenching revival that will fall on the people of God that will change their hearts and change their minds and make them focus more on who He is than what we are and our pleasures and our appetites. We have to be a people who I believe have sold out to Him and absolutely in no way are following our own hearts. There is some things that I believe we need to do. There's some things how we need to live. So what I want us to do this morning, just listen to what I've got to say. And let's see if we can at least have Him speak to our heart. Jesus said these words in Luke 18 and 8. He said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? That's what Jesus asked. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. As bad as things are now in people's hearts, I can't even imagine what it's going to be before Jesus comes back. Well, actually, I do, because the Bible says, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, when evil was on their hearts constantly. Constantly. Does that sound like society today? Oh, you have a little spot here and there where there's some kind of spiritual growth or some kind of spiritual experience, which is wonderful. And I hope it happens right here this morning in our hearts, that God stirs us to the place where our focus is Him. Now, the Holy Spirit of God, we're told when He comes, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when He comes, there's something going to be marvelous that happens. Now, what is that that's going to be marvelous? He said that when the Holy Spirit comes, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we will be witnesses for Him. We will be witnesses for Him when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that's something that is optional. I believe that is something that happens naturally because we have been born of God and we have been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so I believe when that happens to us, we just naturally share the gospel. That is our focus. Now listen, when we've got the best thing that anybody could have, I believe we'd be excited about it and we'd want to share it, don't you? But too many times the church is quiet on almost every issue that man is facing in the day we're living in. People have lost their minds. Let me give you this story right here that I read out of a Home Life magazine. Home Life magazine is put out by our denomination. It's a wonderful little magazine. A monthly magazine that we used to have here. We used to give them out for everybody, whoever wanted them. But let me tell you what I've read here. There was an ad in the paper of the Home Life magazine, and it was about a web page of Britain's National Secular Society. And the article was called Watering Down the Water. All right? It was on page 70 of the 2007 issue of Home Life magazine for October. Here's what it said. Liberate yourself from the original mumbo jumbo that liberated you from the original sin that you never had. For only £3 or $5 for those outside the UK, a person can receive a certificate of de-baptism. You know what I'm saying? Denounce your faith. Baptism, because there was no original sin, you had nothing to repent about. You had nothing that God needed from you. Just go ahead and send us £3 or $5, and we'll send a certificate to you saying that you've been de-baptized. I don't understand that. I don't understand such thinking. And I just wonder, because there are people that are calling themselves Christians that are no more a Christian than a car is. Matter of fact, Jesus said this, that there's going to be many on that day that looks to me and say, Lord, Lord, I've done many wonderful things in your name. And he said, I'm going to look at them and they're going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Now that word for iniquity is really neat. It means not being equal, is what that word means. Not being equal with God's standard. In other words, we're falling short of the mark that God has set for us. And so he says here, depart from me, you never reached the quality mark. And the only equality mark that there is Jesus Christ our Lord. Outside of him, all of us are filled with iniquity. Sin is in our heart and cannot be refused because our fallen nature desires those things. So what is it that's going on? Let's take a look at some things that are about the church that I think have changed. I can remember the day whenever I was younger, a lot younger, that people of the community expected the people of the community that were Christians to live like Christians. Not like the world. Not looking like the world, thinking like the world, smelling like the world, doing like the world. Not those kind of things. But they had something different about them. But see, over the years, and I mean over a number of years now, I have seen things that have happened that people call themselves Christians. And I just don't believe that a Christian would have that kind of lifestyle. So here's what I believe is happening. Apostasy is filling the church. Apostasy is filling the hearts of God's people. And we're being pulled away from what God has said to a world of lust and desire and personal advantage. Because I believe this. I believe this, that when we meet the God of creation, when we have an encounter with the God of glory, the one who spoke the stars in place and took the dust of the ground and formed man and breathed the breath of life into him, I believe when that God intervenes in your life or my life, something is going to be different. Cannot stay the same. It is impossible to be like you were before you were converted. So here's what's happening, I believe, in most churches. It's this. You know, we don't want to look like a church. We don't want to think like a church. We just want to be more of a social setting. We want to be a gathering place for friends in a lot of places. I mean, until they have begun to, and I shared with you how my friend in California, when they showed me his church, he said, we built it this way so that if we ever decided to sell it, it wouldn't look like a church. What is wrong with looking like a church? The temple looked like the temple. Matter of fact, when they rebuilt the temple, you know what the older men that had seen the old temple done? You know what they did? They stood at the door and cried. They cried because the temple was not as glorious as it was when Solomon built it. And they knew that there was something missing. The glory of God was not like it was beforehand. And they stood there and they cried. God's people should be standing in the doorways of the church today crying. Should be crying about what is going on in men's hearts. Why have we rejected him and thrown him out of most places that we're around? Well, I can tell you why. The standards have got so low, that we really don't have a standard. We're looking more about numbers than we are souls. Now, I've discovered this, and I believe this with all my heart. I know there's some exceptions to this, all right? But when you preach the Word of God and say there is no other, it offends a lot of people. It offends me, and I'm the preacher. And so when you stand behind a pulpit and you start saying things like fornication is wrong, it's a sin that God's going to hold you accountable for. Adultery is a sin God's going to hold you accountable for. When we say killing babies is all right, God's going to hold us accountable for that. So many things God is going to hold us accountable for. Because, listen, he is not number one. I know this is some terrible preaching this morning. It's not popular. But it's something that I believe the church needs to hear. We've got too happy with nothing. Too happy with nothing. And we should be ashamed of ourselves. And I'm not pointing anybody out. I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about the church everywhere. Had a friend tell me this. We work all week long to put on a Hollywood production on Sunday morning, baptizing hundreds, but no lives were being changed. You know why? Because the standards of God are not being proclaimed. Listen, here's the problem. Number one, we want to have conversions without conviction. We want somebody to just come on in. We've got a hot dog party tonight. We got pizza. Just come on in. You'll feel comfortable. You won't be offended. And there's nothing wrong with those things I just said, because I like pizza and I like hot dogs. And we became known one time as the Victory Fat Dogs, because that's what we done on Sunday nights. Those were the days. Because we don't want to offend anybody, we're not calling sin, sin. And we're afraid that we'll run them off somewhere if they come and we begin to talk about sin. If we begin to talk about life. If we begin to talk about what we should be and what we're not being, it makes people mad. So we don't want them to be offended. We just want them to be a part of us. Right? And I don't want, listen, honestly, I do not want to offend anybody. I am a people person. I just naturally love people. I like being around people. I don't want to offend anybody and get them upset with me. But let me say this. So be the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God says, so be it. And then I've got to, listen, I've got something I've got to do. I've got to also set the example as a believer, not just the pastor, but as a believer. I've got to set the example of what God's power can do in a converted life. But we don't want them to be convicted. So we say, come on in, it don't matter. I can tell you what. When I was convicted of my sin, 25-year-old man, I sat there and cried like a baby. I blubbered till the snot run down my nose. Excuse me there on the internet, excuse me. I was so convicted that I had sinned against the holy God that had loved me so much that he come and died for me. I was convicted. Now we won't tell anybody that. See, you cannot have conversion without conviction. You just can't do it. The Bible says, listen, in Acts 2:36, says, let forth all the house of Israel know assuredly that God have made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said, what must we do? When the Philippian jailer thought everybody had escaped because they got so stirred up, and their Paul and Silas got so stirred up that the walls began to shake, and the ground began to shake. There was a power of God in the place, and every door opened up. They thought they had escaped, and what happened? He said, give me a light, and he went in, saw everybody was still there, and Paul said, hey, don't worry about it. We all here. And he brought them out, and he said, what must I do? What must I do? See, when God gets a hold of you, we have to say, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? Well, we need to follow his word. All right? So we have to understand, if we do not tell the truth that every man born of woman and every woman born of woman are sinners, and there is no hope for us outside of Jesus Christ, and our faith in him, believing he has paid the ultimate price for our sins, there is no other way but him. And so if we want our family saved, if we want our family believing, don't go home and live one way. Come to the church and live another way, because God sees every way. All right? Live the same thing at church that you do at home, and the same thing at home you do at church. And I guarantee you this, if we will stick to the word of God, those who will believe, he will save. Let me say that again. If we will stick to the word of God, those that will believe, he will save. He will cast nobody out. But the only way that we're going to know that we're sinners is that we're convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. Because he is the one that has to draw us to the Father. And unless that conviction is there, and if we do not know that we are sinners, how are we going to be convicted by the Holy Spirit of God? I don't know of a way. Maybe you do. I don't. There's only one way. And then listen, we want to have salvation without surrender. All right? I have seen people come to this very altar right here and kneel down and say they want to give their life to Jesus and go out of the building and not make it half a day. Now, I know there's a growing period after we come to know the Lord. I had a plenty of growing period I had to do. But we cannot, listen, we cannot experience salvation unless we surrender. Because, see, and that surrender is like, put your hands up. The sheriff of heaven has arrested you. Raise your hands and say, hey, I surrender unto you. That means everything I am placing in you. And everything you are, I surrender myself to that. We've got to have that surrender. Absolutely. Matthew 16:24 says this, and then Jesus unto his disciples said, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looked back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That's some tough saying, isn't it? But let me tell you something, what I believe. Now, we're not going to be perfect. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We're not going to be perfect, but here's what I believe. If I have been convicted, if I have by faith trusted him and surrendered myself to him, there's going to be some things that I just naturally do. And that is, I'm going to give up the things of the world. Let me tell you, The very afternoon that I gave my heart to the Lord, he took a bunch of junk out of my life. Immediately. It was about 3:30 in the afternoon on a Thursday afternoon, April the 26th. And I knelt down beside my bed, and I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe that. Had been under such conviction, I couldn't even sleep. And I gave my heart to him. I got up from there, and listen, there was a lot of junk fell off of me. But there were still some things that hung to me that took a while at times to defeat them. It don't come like that. Salvation comes like that. But sanctification comes with some work. Comes with some work. So he says, listen, if you put our hand to the plow, if we kneel down and say, I want to trust Jesus, then we better get up and have meant it. Because if we have not meant it, guess what? Nothing's happened. And we have to come, listen, our conviction comes not because I've had an affair against my wife or my husband, or I've done this or I've done that, which I've heard of that a lot of times. And I think if I just give my heart to the Lord, then everything will be all right. No, listen, we don't come to him because we sinned against someone else. Who have we sinned against? All sin is against God. Other people are affected by it. But all sin is of God. I mean, when we sin, it's against him. Why? Because he is the standard of holiness. So, when we come to him, it's not because this has happened or that has happened in my life. It's because, listen, I didn't think one thing whenever I was convicted about my drinking or all the other stuff I'd done in my life. Those years that I don't even talk about. Embarrassed to even talk about them. What broke my heart wasn't those things. It was the knowledge that I had sinned against God Almighty that loved me. And that just broke my heart. And let me tell you something. I had walked down the aisle of our church 500 times probably over the years until they had to replace the carpet just about it. And nothing happened. You know why? Because I was not convicted of sinning against God. So, there's a little difference there, all right? And then, listen, we want the power of God without the price it takes. We want to do all those miracle sight things, okay? But we don't want to give him and pay the price that it takes. I found this right here in the scriptures, and all of you know this. Matthew 17:20 says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be removed. Now listen, he's not telling us to go move mountains. I'd hate to look at Mount Mitchell and say, be gone over to Jacksonville. That looked a little crazy, wouldn't it? What he's saying is this. It don't matter how big the issue is. If you just got a little grain of faith, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. It don't take mountains of faith, but guess what? Sometimes there's some things we have to do to have the power of God in our life. One of them is the hardest thing that us Baptists can do. And it starts with the word, with the letter P. It's called prayer. It's the hardest thing. Prayer is a hard price to pay. And they say, well, Damon, that's crazy. Well, I'm just saying it's the easiest thing we can do, but yet it's the hardest thing we can do. It's the most powerful thing we can do, but we think it's the least of the things we do. You know, and we'll say something like, well, all I can do is pray. My gracious alive, that should be the first thing we say. Listen, I'm going to put the power of God on you. And I'm going to pray down heaven's blessings on you. That's what we should be praying. With power. His disciples come back to him. He said, listen, we've had some issues here. We've met a devil we couldn't cast out. We couldn't heal this one. Jesus said, well, I can just see that moment. Well, guys, haven't you learned yet? That some things only come with prayer and fasting. And Lord, we need to seek God. And I know we Baptists, we don't practice that very much. We probably don't practice it at all, of having an old-fashioned time that we are seeking God to a place where we do away with everything for the physical and just let those physical pains remind us of the greater spiritual need. Very seldom do we do that. We don't want to pay the price. See, it's uncomfortable to pay the price. I like sitting in my chair with my feet propped up. I really like that. And I got a glass, I got a can of Dr. Pepper sitting right there beside me. I like that. And I got a cobbler in a bowl in my hand. Now that is wonderful. That is wonderful. But that's not what I need. I need the hunger for that cobbler and let it remind me that there's a spiritual need that is greater than my desire for that. See what I'm saying? Sometimes we get all focused and we need the physical to remind us of the spiritual. Because the reason I say that is because we think more of the physical than we do the spiritual. In most cases. And then, we want a relationship without fellowship. Now, we've been studying in the book of 1 John on Wednesday night. Been doing it those five little chapters. I think we've got about 80 messages out of it so far, 80 times. We might be out of it maybe December of 2015 or something like that. But anyway, and that's what it's talking about. It's talking about that we cannot have fellowship. Titus 1:16 said, they profess that they know God, but in their works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and in every good work reprobate. 1 John 1:7 says this. We remember this because we've talked about this a lot on Wednesday night. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. All sins. And that walking in the light is just simply it's walking in the Word of God. It's walking in the Word of God. Letting the Word of God dictate your life. Because you know what? He is the Word of God. And when we're walking in the Word of God, we're walking in him. And when we're walking in him, we can have fellowship. Without that, we cannot have fellowship one with another. It's impossible. Can't have fellowship with God. Can't have fellowship with each other. And it takes all of that fellowship to make us what God wants us to be, to put us in the body of Christ and to make us strong and viable to the kingdom of God. That's what it takes. It is not popular to say, act like Christ. Oh, we wore those little bracelets that said, what would Jesus do? Well, around our wrist, it don't really help us. But when it's in our heart, it makes a big difference. All right? So we want that relationship, but we don't want the fellowship. Jesus said, whoever would deny me before man, I will deny him before my Father. I could stand in my garage and say that I'm a 2020 Bentley, but that don't make me a car. Amen? I can stand in the church and say I'm a Christian, but that don't make me a Christian. What makes me a Christian is I am a child of God because he has called my name. We've got to have that fellowship. We've got to have that relationship and sanctification without a sacrifice. Now, this is a tough one right here because, listen, there's some of those things when I got saved, I didn't want to give up. I just enjoyed them. I liked them. You know what I mean? I just like those kind of things. But sanctification is, at the new birth, is immediate. At least one part. That sanctification just means to be set apart. to something or someone. So when we by faith say, I believe and confess him as Lord, and in our heart believe that God raised him from the dead, when we do that, God takes us and he sanctifies us and sets us over here. That's immediate. We are now his possession. But from that possession, as babies, we have to march on to sanctification in progress. In other words, our lives, as we move along, we should be able to sanctify things ourselves by removing some things out of our life. We need to put off the old man and take on the new. And that is our responsibility. I believe there, now listen to me, I believe there's people that have been sanctified by God, born of God, but they're still needing the bottle because they've never worked in progressive sanctification. And their life remains weak and anemic to God. Our responsibility is to move along the line. But we don't want to do that. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we are sanctified by the word of God. Let me ask, how much, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand. How many spend time in the book? I mean literally in the book. That takes the word of God and reads it and say, God, what do you want me to hear from here? And Lord, let me get this text right here, and let me search it out. The Bible says we're sanctified by the Word of God. Now, when we leave here today, you might remember some of the things I said that was funny. All right? You might remember some things that hit your heart. But probably 90 or 95% of what I say you won't remember. Might not even be able to tell us tonight what we preached on. But this, the Word of God is the only thing. I cannot sanctify you. You cannot sanctify yourself. We are sanctified by the Word of God. All right? So trust Him. And then last of all, I think it's the last one I got. I know we got two more, I think. And I'll be quick. We want to be watchers instead of worshipers. We want to watch what's going on instead of worshiping. When we come to church, our focus should be on Him. And our heart should be on Him. It shouldn't be what Sister So-and-so's wearing or Brother what So-and-so said or what he done or what they are doing. That should have no effect on our worship, although it does. But just think, if every one of us come into this building this morning ready to worship the God of glory, and we have prayed up, we've sanctified ourselves through the Word of God, and we're ready to hear the Word of God because we are so hungry for it because I need something in my life, and we come here and we begin to sing songs of worship, let me tell you, what it begins to do, it begins to unite you and that person sitting beside you. If you both come prepared to worship, it ties us together. It bonds us together. And our voices are lifted up in one loud accord to God. And He begins to speak in our hearts. He begins to tell us our needs. Because, you know, the truth is, I think I know what I need, but I don't really. It is the Spirit of God that searches my heart, searches into the very depths of me, that reveals to me what I need. And if I'm not in tune, guess what? I'm not going to hear him talk. But what we need, really, is we need to be, get out of this thing about watching what's going on. Just let me look. They used to call them seekers. Well, you know, they're seeking. Listen to me. The Bible says no man seeks after God. What happens is God has already been seeking them. And he's trying to draw them in to the flock. And what they need to do when they're here is have all the other people that are worshiping God, that them to be in tune with God. And whenever they come in, guess what's going to happen? Because God is already seeking them, they'll find him. They'll find him. So we can't sit back and be watchers. We got to be worshipers. You know, if I sing, I might be out of tune. When I play the bass, I'm out of tune. Whatever all that is. But it's not what happens around us. It is what's happening within us that matters about worship. Because we could worship. Listen, there's people that worship God, and out their door is someone with weapons that will kill them if they could get into them. And let me tell you something. They in there, they worshiping. They ain't playing around wondering what sister so-and-so's doing or what brother so-and-so's doing. No. Their mind is on God. Their heart is on God. And everything they want right then is the presence of God in their life. He's real. And the last one I'm going to say, we want liberty without liability. God did not save us to nothing. We want to have the liberty of God and the forgiveness of sins. But he has not saved us to nothing. All right? He has saved us to good works. If I am a part of a family of God, I should not at all be afraid to take on whatever responsibility that I could get. We should long for that. Where can I fit in? How can I help? What can I do? Because we want to be set free from our sins, but we don't want the liability of what it takes to do the mission that God has called his church to do. Matthew 12:36 said this, "But I say to you that every idle word that a man will speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." In other words, it's more than just saying, "I believe." Because he has created you unto good work. You are his workmanship to good work that he has before ordained for you to walk in. He's already got the plan. Already got the plan. All we have to do is join with this plan. Henry Blackaby said, God's always at work. We just need to find out where he's working at and join him there. So this morning, let me ask you, where do you stand on the things of God? Are we focusing on the truth? Or has our lives become in an apostate stage where we're wanting without surrendering? Not wanting to serve. I think Brother Jimmy used to call it, we just want fire insurance against hell. I want fire in my life. The fire of God, that is. That motivates me and moves me and directs my life. And I believe you do too. So what do we do? We give it all to him. We just surrender. And listen, there comes a time sometimes where I believe that we need to just say, Lord, I've made a mess of things. I haven't been as faithful as I should have been. I haven't done what you've asked me to do. I haven't done this or that. Or Lord, I'm not obedient in, probably all of us Baptists could say, Lord, I've not been faithful in sharing the word of God. Because about 95% never do. And that's statistics, that 95% of us Baptists never share our faith. About 90% never read their Bible outside of the church. I remember this lady I worked with at one time. She was a food broker. And we were doing a reset one day, and her husband was there. And she was from a different denomination. And I met her husband, and she said, this is Damon. He's the preacher I was telling you about that does this stuff. And he said, man, I tell you what, you Baptists know your Bible. And I thought to myself, you're supposed to know it too. It's not just a Baptist thing to know the Bible. People have some crazy thoughts. Did you know that? Really crazy thoughts. So what do? To learn the Bible. Well, you read it, you study it, you attend church to hear it proclaimed, and you attend studies of the church to learn the Word of God. There ain't nothing like sitting in a group and hearing how God's affected their life, because they might be saying exactly what you need. Exactly. I sit in some classes in Bible school, in Bible college, when what somebody else said spoke directly into my heart, and I had not even thought of that. So getting together is a wonderful thing. You can't get together unless we're body, and our body needs the Lord. Let's pray.